Morning. Welcome to Berar Ministries, a Christian church. I am edified by the faith of all those chosen by God the Father. I'm edified by the knowledge of the truth, which is according to the plan of our Father. I am edified by the hope of eternal life, which God the Father, who cannot lie, promised to us long ages ago, and at the proper time manifested both in his word and through the sacrifice of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am edified by being entrusted by a commandment of God to preach to you. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, a spiritual gift given to me by God for your blessing and for your benefit. And today, I salute all of you who support this ministry, even though you don't live here. Our soon-to-be resident congregation. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your edification of this pastor and this ministry. And I echo Paul's sentiments expressed by his love for the believers at the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4. He said, "You have done well to share with me in my affliction." He said, "You sent a gift more than once for my needs." And I appreciate their continuation. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account by the giving of the gift. Thank you to our soon-to-be resident congregation. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher affords me the privilege of leadership, of telling unbelievers the good news of the gospel message concerning God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his saving work on the cross. John chapter 10, verse 9 says, "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door. And if anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher also affords me the privilege of providing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with a place to hear the Word of God accurately taught so that they might use its truths to handle the circumstances of their lives. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, "Brethren, believers in Christ, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and there is, and if there's anything worthy of praise, and of course there is, let your mind dwell on these things." As believers in Christ, we value Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the one we worship, the one and only sovereign God, the one we count on. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches, which come from being in union with Christ Jesus." We count on him, and our God provides. Bible study is a time to let God renew our thoughts, reinvigorate our souls, nourish our senses, and lead us into all the truths of the Word of God so that we can reflect our Savior to a lost and dying world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Don't be conformed to this world, but keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so we turn away from the world's viewpoint, and we adopt God's viewpoint. Taking God's attitude into the world is a powerful influence. Welcome to a place where God the Holy Spirit prepares you in humility to receive the word implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. As God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's worship our Lord in song. The opening song is "I Can Only Imagine."
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
I'll tell you what, that guy's a lot better than me, because I can't imagine. I can't even begin to imagine what it would be like to be face to face with the Lord. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Give us a vivid picture of prayer that we can use in our daily walk with you. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1, some final thoughts about prayer. We begin with a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper, December 15th, 2013. Deacon Caleb Alburn will deliver the Lord's Supper message that day. Aflac! Mark your calendars. No face-to-face Bible study, December 8th. That's next week. So no face-to-face lessons next week. Jerry? Hey? Did you hear that? Jerry? Turn it up a little bit. I want you coming over here. But there will be two lessons posted next week. And Larry, you'll be streaming those via Pal Talk, is that correct? Yeah, so we're going to record those on Thursday and they'll be streamed via Pal Talk.
Why do we not have service?
Say again?
Why do we not have service?
Because you are not able to be here next week, so we canceled it for you. And then on December 29th, we won't have service, and we'll have one lesson that day. And so you will have something on December 29th. So available free of charge from Barah Ministries. Video lessons on our website, audio lessons on our website, pastor's notes and podcasts on our website, an app via Android, the Android standard, CDs on request, Bibles on request, just for your information. If you want to listen to the Sunday lessons, which are streamed on Pal Talk, here's how you do it. You go to paltalk.com, you download the software, which is a click of a button, you choose a nickname, you sign into the Barah Ministries room, and listen. Pal Talk, there's a replay of Barah Ministries lessons on Pal Talks Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 9 in the east, 7 in the mountain, and 6 Pacific. And tuning into the lessons is pretty easy, and I suggest that you try it sometime. It's worth it. Happy birthday, belated, to Tracy Bixby. Her birthday was November 25th. And I'm really excited. Next year you'll get to experience Tracy Bixby's ministry. She's going to set up a YouTube channel for us, and we're going to put 10-minute lessons on YouTube as an evangelistic tool. And she's also constructing a Facebook page for us, so we'll have a presence on Facebook as well. So that's fantastic, and we're really appreciative of her doing that. She's really excited to get going on it, and we'll be doing that real soon. Now let's take the offering. Welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. Denny.
That's for June. Woo, 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 woo. All right, good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. And I'm actually proud to call all of you family as well. We're a Christian church that pursues truth from the Word of God. Where'd the clicker go? There it is. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they're not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to provide for yourself and for others with your contributions. So remember to give, just as we see in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, I've been part of this ministry since it was started in one of pastor's rooms at his house. From a small college to the American Legion to several hotel conference rooms, we've been all over the place. We've had many people come and go, but we've gradually added congregation members across America and around the world. While our growth has been clear, something still baffles me. Why aren't we drastically bigger? We hear all these stories about small churches raising millions of dollars overnight, or a congregation of 100 that expands to 400 in just a year. So why do we still have less than 100 people, and we're unable to give our pastor, our shepherd, a real salary? Well, if there's one thing I know about the Word of God that it's taught me, it's that greatness is still possible, even when we think things are impossible. Then it hit me. When something is a threat, it deserves more attention. And Barah Ministries is a threat to Satan and his evil schemes. There are those mega churches may have people, but they don't prepare them for action. They don't teach them what prayer really is. And those small churches can have all the money they want, but they're not setting people free with the truth. Just like a World War II bomber is properly over the target, it's going to encounter flak. Well, we have been zeroing in on the target, and we're going to encounter hostility. Satan is going to do everything possible to hamper a church with a committed pastor and a faithful congregation. But I take heart in Isaiah 54. Did I already pass that up? There it is. I take heart in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me. Their justification is from me, declares the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for all you do. Amen.
With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done.
Today's study, Romans chapter 1, some final thoughts about prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 say this: be anxious for nothing. Stop worrying about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the first 15 verses of Romans chapter 1, Paul does a great job of outlining very important biblical truths in just a few words. Verses 1 to 7, an introduction to the letter. Verses 8 to 15, Paul's prayer for his ministry. Let's just look at that real quickly. Then I'd like to pick out some of these words that are important in those 15 verses and talk about what we've done to look at those. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, this Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, we meaning Paul, to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved, the divinely loved ones of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit and the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us being encouraged by the other's faith, both yours encouraging me and mine encouraging you. And I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so that for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Now, when we look at that, you know, we can go through the words. We can read the words. But there are words in that, in those two passages, 1 to 7, 8 to 15, that have richness. Let's just look at a few of them. How about this? Bondservant. In the very first verse, he calls himself a bondservant. What is he saying? He's saying that we have a submission relationship to God. We have a dependence on God. We are not God. There is not a God inside of us, except for the fact that we're indwelled by Christ. In fact, indwelled by the entire Trinity in this age. We are bondservants in submission to God. Apostle. He uses that word. What does it mean? It's a spiritual gift. It was Paul's spiritual gift. But you have a spiritual gift too. What is it? How are you using it? We see the word Holy Scriptures, and we know that that is a reference to the Old Testament, but it's a reference also to the Word of God. And how about resurrection from the dead? The Zoe life, the resurrection life that we were given at the moment of salvation. How about you being described as the called of Jesus Christ? That's a description of our destiny as Christians. That before you were even born, all of your decisions that you would make in your lifetime were factored into God's plan. And he allowed those. And for those of you that he knew would be believers in Christ, he called you to the privileges of believers in Christ. You are the called of Jesus Christ. Or how about faith, that power word, which is an indication of our trust in God? And how about its counterpart, unbelief, which we studied extensively? How about prayer, the privilege of talking to God? And how about the gospel, the good news concerning Christ's work on your behalf at the cross? Even Paul mentioning his own name in Romans chapter 1 is significant, because what he was tasked with by God, which is to communicate the mystery doctrine of the church age, to write 2/3 of the New Testament, in light of who he was, edifies us. Why? Because Paul is the worst person who ever lived. Yet he was given by God one of God's most important jobs. And we smile knowing that we aren't as bad as he is. So we conclude that God must love us more. Even though God doesn't love us more, of course. But it's a comforting thought, if only for a moment, to know that if a guy as bad as Paul can get a significant task, that God can give us a significant task too, us who are not as bad as Paul. Well, if we want, we can ignore the depth of those words that pop up in the first 15 verses of Romans chapter 1, and we can press on to the end of Romans. And for those of you with a suspense complex who can't wait to see what's next in Romans, for those of you with a completion complex who think the pace of study is too slow when we go into those words like that, I suggest that you read on in Romans, because I did that this week and I found out that it only takes an hour to read the 16 chapters of Romans with its 11 teaching chapters and its 5 exhortation chapters. It only takes an hour. But that is hardly the point. You see, it takes a lifetime to grasp what is in Romans, to really get the significance of what prayer is, and to see it in such a way that you incorporate it into your life. And I think God is happy that we stop along the way to smell the roses. You know, we've been parked at Romans chapter 1, verse 8, to smell this rose called prayer. And the few hours of this study has changed me. I certainly hope it has changed you. This study has changed my thoughts about prayer completely. I think prayer is one of the most underestimated privileges that we Christians have. And maybe other believers don't underestimate it, but I certainly did. And maybe other believers, and I'm absolutely certain why I underestimated it, and it was because prayer is dependence. I underestimated it because prayer is dependence. You see, prayer is our fervent appeal to the supreme judge of the universe to decide every case that we bring before him in our favor. It is our appeal as we go before a judge, the supreme judge of the universe, to decide every case that we bring before him in our favor. You've all been before a judge, and you know that your fate is in the judge's hands. And you can present your case, but the judge will decide. See, that's the problem with prayer. God decides. We put our burdens in his hands. Yet there are no more capable hands. But we've been taught to think that if we don't do everything in the Christian life, then nothing will get done. Great thought until the problem requires the supernatural, which many of our problems require. I saw a lady the other day who is the wife of one of my dear friends who I buy clothes from. And she's a young woman and she's walking with a walker. And I'm thinking, why do you have the walker? And she said, well, I was having back surgery, and during the back surgery, something happened, and now I have nerve problems, and I have to get epidurals and nerve blocks every 2 days, and I'm barely walking. What do you say when you see something like that? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, man, that's too bad. Boy, that's good that that's you, not me. What do you say in circumstances like that? You know, there's nothing you can say, but as a Christian, there's plenty I can say. Amen. I can go before my Father and boldly ask him to intervene in this circumstance in her favor. And I can depend on him to do exactly what he promised me that he would do. Rory, anything you ask me in prayer, believing, you will receive. What a tremendous privilege that we have. We hear these things all the time. We hear about our friends who get the C word, you have cancer. We hear, we see all the circumstances that occur in the lives of the people that we care about. But do we ever stop to think, hey, I can affect this? When we hear that our nation has to attack another nation. And we know that they're attacking this other nation and they're flying through sand. And that 1 second of lost concentration and a $300 million jet fighter can go into a sand dune and leave a hole about that big. And that we can pray that our God makes the weather great for flying that day in that place. And we can do it from the comfort of our home in our footed pajamas. I think we forget about the power of prayer. I think we've been deceived about prayer and praying in our legalistic bent of it, as if it is some structure as opposed to a weapon. And that often when you are praying, you can't get the 7 steps out. Yesterday I was at a basketball game, and it was at the end of the game, and you know, I was all involved mentally and my emotions were all involved, and I didn't have time to say, you know, I didn't have time to rebound and then, you know, think about the fact that I was directing to God the Father. All I had time to say was, let the basket go in. Sometimes we don't have time for all that. You know, if a semi is bearing down on us, we don't have time to go through the structure. But our God is listening anyway. And so there's some really interesting things to learn about prayer. And one of those things to learn about prayer is that I don't have to do everything. That in my powerlessness, my God is listening to me. And when we see these situations of real people in our lives, We can do more than just feel sorry. We can intervene. Because when it's apparent that there is nothing that we can do with our problems, which is often the case, prayer is the answer. A congregation member, in talking about prayer, said, "My first thought when I have a problem is not prayer. My first thought is, what do I have to do to fix this?" You know what? So it is with all of us. Our first thought is, what do I have to do to fix it? Counting on self first and God second is certainly one way to do things. Yet God considers our problems to be his responsibility, so why wouldn't we put our problems in more capable hands? For those of us who have studied legalism for years, we've heard it said that prayer is not a problem-solving device. We've heard that prayer is not a problem-solving device. And when the movie is made on that comment, it will be entitled "One of the Greatest Lies Ever Told." Prayer is absolutely a problem-solving device of the greatest kind. Prayer allows us to slam our problems on God's back. Prayer allows us to bring the sovereign of the universe into play with our problems. Again, God considers our problems to be his responsibility, so why wouldn't we put our problems in more capable hands? Take a 5-minute break, and we'll close our study of prayer with a few summary thoughts.
Strong enough
Welcome back. Listen carefully to this. What is prayer? Prayer is a privilege given to us by God, which gives us direct and immediate access to Him. It is an intentional and intimate heart-to-heart talk with God, on whom we are totally dependent, in which we ask Him to use divine omnipotence to help us in time of need, especially when no human solution is possible or apparent. It is a public or private display of our faith that our God always hears us, always intercedes for us, always blesses us with solutions to our most pressing concerns. Here are some of the things that I've learned about prayer. When we pray, it is an acknowledgement that there is a God and that we as believers have a relationship with Him. Seldom do we expect help from those with whom we have no relationship. John chapter 17, verse 3 says this: "This is the eternal life. This is the Zoe life. This is the resurrection life. That they may know you, Father." This is Jesus Christ talking in prayer, the greatest prayer ever prayed. "That they may know you, Father, the only true God and Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, me, whom you have sent." That's the Zoe life. That's the resurrection life, that you may know me. That's what Jesus is saying here. When we pray, we are asking to receive. That's another thing that I've learned about prayer. When we pray, we are asking to receive. So that focuses us immediately on the giver. John chapter 1, verse 12. "As many as received him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "through faith alone and Christ alone, to them, the Lord Jesus Christ gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Salvation, that easy. Believe, and you will be saved. You take the active step to believe, and then God saves you. An immutable God who never changes saves you. An immutable God who never changes puts you in a relationship with Christ, and you can never get out of that relationship no matter what you do. John 10, 28. "I give eternal life to believers in Christ. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And you can see Jesus Christ when he said that. There it is. "No one will snatch them out of my hand." Go ahead. Try. Sorry, I should have put it on this shoulder. This one's not moving very much. So when we pray, there are any number of things that we might request. We can pray to be saved. We can pray to be stabilized, asking God, "Equip me. Save me, deliver me." We can ask to be guided, direct me. We can ask to be protected, guard me. We can ask to be aided, to get relief. We can ask to be instructed. We can be asked for wisdom, teach me. We can ask to be cleansed, rescue me, clean up my mistakes. We can ask to be unified in situations where there is division. Bond us. We can ask for help. Assist me. What is prayer? Prayer is our fervent appeal to the supreme judge of the universe to decide every case in our favor. And that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to decide every case in your favor. He wants to give you the victory every time. He is not a statistician. He's not saying, "Well, it's kind of like baseball, man. You know, like 3 out of 10 ain't bad." He's not like that. He wants you to win every single time. When we pray, I've learned that we have the right to expect answers, because God promises us believers in Christ that he will answer us. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. You have the right to expect answers. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. This is Jesus being funny. I like his stories. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Here's what it says. It says, "Now the Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, his technical students, which included the apostles and others, a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart." Luke 18, 2, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not respect God and did not respect man." We have a lot of friends like that. Amen? Luke 18, 3, "And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to the judge, saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' And for a while, the judge was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't respect God nor respect man,'" Luke 18, 5, "'yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.'" Amen? Yeah. Women have the gift of repetition. Amen? Yeah. Sometimes we just do things because if we don't, they will wear us out. Amen? That's beautiful. This is Jesus talking, amen? Argue with that, ladies. Luke 18:6. "And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said.'" Okay, so the judge was an unbeliever. Somebody who doesn't respect God and doesn't respect man. He's an unbeliever. And the Lord says, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said." And there's a nice contrast here, because the Lord is called the righteous judge. But he's saying, look at the thinking of the unrighteous judge. And then he says, "Now, will not God, the righteous judge, bring about justice for his elect, believers in Christ, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them?" No way. If the unrighteous judge is going to listen to somebody crying day and night, what's the righteous judge going to do? So all of those of you who think that God is slow about answering your prayers, take that. If an unrighteous judge knows what to do, don't you think that a righteous judge knows what to do? And just because you don't have the perspective on it yet, about what he's done. And by the way, it's not what he is doing, it's what he's done a billion years ago, right? You're experiencing the problem now. He experienced it a billion years ago and fixed it. He already did it. He's not going to delay long over you. God answers us right soon. To be a Christian who is of use to the Lord, what I learned about praying is that an intentional prayer life is a requirement. An intentional prayer life is a requirement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. I remember when we used to laugh about that. Pray without ceasing. How could you actually do that? It's exactly what we have to do as Christians. Pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. What does it mean? Make it a habit to pray. It's a command. And the prayerful ones of God do just that. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers," laboring in prayer, "that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God." That's what prayerful people do. Paul spent quite a bit of his time praying. Acts chapter 9, verse 11. "And the Lord said to Ananias, 'Get up and go to the street called Straight Street and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying.'" This was just after he was knocked off his high horse. What was he doing? Praying. Paul is a man of prayer. Romans chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For God, whom I, Paul, serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you in prayer, always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. When we pray, it brings out in us an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks. Prayer comes from the heart. Prayer is often emotional. And when we pray, we can always count on a God with ears wide open, with arms wide open, ready to receive our requests so that he can bless. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give him your burdens. John chapter 6, verse 37, and all that the Father gives me, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. Open arms, open ears. Your prayers don't get above the ceiling. You remember that comment? I will not cast out. Never. John 7:37, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Yes. Matthew 21:22, in all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. So what I learned about prayer is to make it a habit, intentionally. And I suggest that you make it your habit as well. Amen. The closing song, Word of God Speak.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes? at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Hey, that guy's not better than June. You guys miss June?
Yeah.
Me too. I've had to find somebody else to make fun of the last 2 weeks. It's really been a traumatic experience for me. You. And by the way, how come you didn't say anything about June? She's been gone for 2 weeks. She had a 2-week vacation. So I take a 1-week vacation. Everybody's bagging on me. Why aren't we bagging on June? She took two.
She takes one vacation.
Oh, okay.
And we still have June.
Nobody likes him very much, as you know. Yeah. Oh, where are the donuts? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving, let us pray, a whole new meaning in our souls. And thank you for showing us how to pray. Thank you for letting us know that you're always there with arms wide open and ears wide open to hear our prayers, but not only ours, but the prayers of the whole world. And I pray that all the people who are at the other end of this message make it a habit to pray and understand the power of prayer to intervene in human circumstances where there are no human solutions and where human power just will not cut it. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. Yay.